Got a couple of quick heads ups for you in terms of injuries as we head into this morning's practice. These four will not practice: Dawson Knox with a hamstring, Sed Van Pran has a calf, Spencer Brown with his back, and then Laviska Shenault with a lower leg strain.
Buffalo Bills head coach Sean McDermott there with the media before we got underway from St. John Fisher. A little bit of an injury note. We did know three of these players. I think the assumption was they wouldn't practice today because they were put on some sort of injury list yesterday, those being Dawson Knox, Spencer Brown, and Cedric Van Pran Granger. Laviska Shenault, a little bit of a surprise this morning, but we will see how long all four of them are out. Knox, Derek, I think there's a good chance could be out for a little while. Brought up with Sal, it's a hamstring injury. Those can linger. I think it'd be a pretty good idea for the Bills, especially with a vet player. You've already brought in a tight end. Have him sit down for a little while, get healthy. Let's not let this baby linger. Let's figure it out. Spencer Brown, Cedric Van Pran Granger, not too sure.
It does seem that with Brown, McDermott said in particular, mm-hmm. it's a flare-up with his back, and they're just trying to get that thing to be not aggravated.
I think he even kind of joked about it, too, so like it didn't seem like it was a serious thing that he was
There's no timetable on those two, though. When it comes to Knox, though, and real quick, you know, Laviska Shenault as well.
Like lower leg strain.
So Shenault, he better get back on that field fast because there are a lot of opportunities for players to grab a roster spot, and he would pay the price for it in the return game.
Yeah, and the Bills
Daquan
already have.
Hardy is someone that you think of. Codrington, of course.
Codrington is who I'm thinking of. They maybe already have a guy they like a lot, and they brought in Shenault because of the change of kickoffs of like, all right, well, let's make sure we have the best guy available.
Right.
No matter what it is. And if you're right. Like, if Shenault's already down, it's not great.
It's not great. But back to Knox and the tight end situation. I would imagine that if rookie Jackson Hawes can hit the ground running, show a little versatility, because when he was drafted, it was what? Blocking tight end, right?
If he can show something, not his exact words, but the paraphrasing is, I like to hit people as hard as humanly possible.
So the thing is that he's drafted, everyone thinks blocking tight end. Mm-hmm. Okay. If he can show a little bit of versatility, that allows him opportunities here. Because the chance is there. The chance is there to get some extra reps. I'd imagine Kincaid's going to hoard all the one.
Mm-hmm.
But anything they need to run with, what, 12 personnel?
Yeah.
I would imagine he's probably going to have to fight Davidson for some of those, but can Davidson or Hawes show versatility in fields that they are lacking?
Another camp hero, Zach Davidson.
Davidson needs to up the blocking.
Yep.
Hawes needs to show that he can catch something. Like, that's versatility that you are going to need to show in training camp right now with Dawson Knox out. If you show that versatility, you will get tight end three.
Yeah, and those are just some of the storylines to keep up with training camp getting underway at St. John Fisher, and we pose that question. You can jump on 803-0550, the number to call, or on Twitter, and let's get connected to our fans. Brought to you by Northtown Kia. Shop online at northtownkia.com. Some storylines you are most interested in following as we get underway. Day one of Bills training camp, and Michael tweets in. I think he puts it perfectly, just Keon Coleman. I think that's a completely fair guy to just bring up. And you know, and to be fair, he is one of those guys I don't even need to really say anything else. It's just for a lot of Bills fans, we talk a lot about Josh Palmer, Elijah Moore, mm-hmm. the quick twitchy, they get open. Keon is not that guy.
Keon is also
not his build.
A higher investment.
Mm-hmm. Yes, he's a second round pick, but let's be honest, they traded back to get him. He's still, for all intents and purposes, their first-round pick.
Comfortably traded back knowing that several receivers were probably going to get taken in the meantime.
Mm-hmm.
And when they trade back, three of them go.
Yep.
So had to be kind of the prize of their eye all along. And again, with Palmer and with Moore, they're kind of buy-low assets. Palmer gets a three-year, but Elijah Moore's just a one-year.
Elijah's a one-year, yeah.
It's a one-off. Those aren't what I'd call high-risk expenditures.
Mm-hmm.
Coleman is still a little bit of that. He was your first pick of the draft class. May not be a first-rounder, but he basically was. You want to see more. You want to see more, and he wants to see more,
mm-hmm.
is something that I would also imagine.
He had flashes. He had moments last year where you thought, okay, it's all coming together. He dealt with injuries. It didn't go well. I've loved how open he has been this offseason about how he knows he needs to get better, where he needs to get better. He he has really come off, I think, this offseason. If you were worried he's a 20-something, young 20-something, he's going to maybe, you know, not take it on the chin and get a little frustrated about criticism, that has not been true at all. He has gone on podcasts during the offseason mentioning, like, he knows he needs to get better. He was okay that his role was diminished as long as the team was winning. But now you got to see the work in the offseason come to fruition. I don't think many people are asking for him to be a 1,300, 1,400-yard receiver. I don't think many people are expecting him to be the next coming of, like, Eric Mould or anything like that. But if we can walk away after week 6 or 7 of this year and go, well, Keon Coleman's a fixture of this team, and not be like, well, it's because they, you know, they used a draft asset, but, like, hey, he's working, then I think you're in a really positive spot. It's the same with Amari Cooper last year. Cooper allowed them to really spread out the offense, even if Cooper wasn't hitting, you know, as much as you'd maybe want. If Coleman can be that plus and allow the offense to spread out with Shakir, hopefully they get more of Kincaid. If Palmer, Elijah Moore, Curtis Samuel, these guys hit, they can be firing on all cylinders. This is a team last year, and I heard the guys bring it up this morning with one of their guests whose name is escaping me. You know, the mention of, like, yeah, they scored a lot of points, you know, even in the AFC Championship. But it always kind of felt like Allen had to be a superhero.
That was with Mike Catalano.
Mike Catalano, thank you. Like, they kind of had to be like, Allen had to be unbelievable at times. You know, fourth down conversions, making unreal throws. Like, it never felt
long
like.
Long drives.
Yeah, and it never felt like there was that just quick, easy 20-yard completion. Didn't really have to do anything. Great. The offense is humming. And I think Joe Brady's been a wonderful play caller for them. I think that did come down to player personnel and who they were using and even some injuries along with, like, you know, Curtis Samuel. But that's kind of been a talking point we've had for years with the Bills, that at times it really does feel like, man, Allen is doing a lot out there. That's even going back to the Brian Daboll days. I know Nate Geary's always said it, like, not everything has to be rocket science. We can have some easy completions here. They've talked about it with Yak, and now they've kind of gotten into that area. Mm-hmm. They finally have really sort of figured that out and gotten those guys. But if you can get guys that are getting open, you know, much faster and at a higher rate, with Allen, where he has developed into a passer, I think we won't have so many games where it feels like, man, if we didn't have Josh Allen, I don't know if we score 10 points.
And I do think that Allen having as many reliable pass catchers as he has here now, none of them great, but reliable, I do think helps. I suspect that this team is going to be able to have and maintain its balanced attack. If this team wants to continue the success that it has, however, you do need a step up from Keon Coleman. You do need production from one of these two in Palmer or Moore, preferably both.
Mm-hmm.
But it seems that, like, the team really believes in those two players that they added as well. Can Coleman help make life even easier? Win a couple more of those jump balls? Find a way to get a little bit of extra separation, or improving his catching in traffic with a guy in his hip pocket, with someone there? Make sure that you're winning your space and commanding it.
Yeah, kind of being the guy when it's a one-on-one situation. We all know who the play is. It's Allen going to Keon.
Sort of. Can you fight off somebody who's in your hip pocket because you can't separate?
Mm-hmm.
Can you elevate that one part of your game to overcome the other? That is the hope. That is the hope, and that's something that you kind of saw happening midway through the season.
Seattle game, yeah.
The Seattle game, and you know, there were flashes all throughout, though. But then there's the plays like he drops a slant pass and it goes the other way on an interception, or, you know, plays like that. Or he'll have himself set up to make a catch and he just can't reel it in. And it's like, you were brought in to catch these tough ones, and it seems like it's not consistent there. He's also a very young player.
Mm-hmm.
I would imagine it's not going to suddenly turn on all the way for him this year. Because sometimes you're growing and you're learning. And you're learning to deal with people that are this fast and this skilled anyway. But he does have the ability to attack the football. And that is the part that I really hope comes out and comes through with more consistency this year. Because I'm not going to expect him to get any better with separation numbers. I don't expect it. I think that he is who he is athletically. Mm-hmm. Can you be stronger in traffic?
Yeah.
Can you make the easy catch? Because it seemed like that was kind of the problem.
Yeah, it for him it becomes, can you be great, maybe even elite, at your role on this offense?
And just a little bit more consistency.
Yep, a little bit more consistency.
Young players struggle with that.
Mm-hmm.
Coleman was what, 20, 21?
I think he was 20 for most of the year.
Yeah. I'm not going to be in the least surprised that the inconsistency was there at that point. I'm not necessarily making excuses, but mm-hmm. I'm not surprised.
Mm-hmm.
And then the injury happens. He doesn't – his body doesn't really respond well to it.
And he doesn't really respond
well to it.
Sorry, he was 21 for most of last year. He's 22 now.
Mentally, he didn't respond well to it and acknowledged that publicly.
Mm-hmm.
Because he's never been hurt like that before. So now, lessons learned. He acknowledges it.
Mm-hmm.
He thinks he needed to be a lot better than he was last year. And the first part of fixing a problem is recognizing it.
Absolutely. 803-0550, the number to call. Your camp storyline you're going to be following the most as we get underway. Mike tweets in, the player I want to follow, Derek, I know is one of your favorites, Deion Walker, a genetic freak like that can easily be a star in this league. Mike, honestly, on that point, it felt like he was going to be a star in college before he picked up some of the injuries. He is a stud. He is a massive human being. My biggest fear about him when the draft process was going on was that he seemed to be a slower player. Then we all of a sudden figured out about the back injury, and it was like, okay, well, maybe now we kind of understand where some of the issues were coming from. It's going to be real, real interesting to see how they deploy him if he hits the ground running, because he can be a real problem. He sort of is the run stuffer I think many of us were thinking about, but with elite potential. And then you add that with the TJ Sanders that they drafted in round two, the defensive line could really go from a problem and a bit of a weakness.
Problem.
Yeah, very, very quickly.
Same word, different meanings.
I bring up the Rams a lot, but the Rams really fixed their entire defensive identity with two rookies in Fisk and Verse. Verse obviously goes on to win the defensive player of the or defensive rookie of the year award. Not asking necessarily that of some of the Bills rookies, but if it can gel as a unit and we can all kind of see like, okay, TJ Sanders is coming, Max Harrison's coming, like that could be huge going forward for this team.
Say you get 3.5-4 sacks at least out of each of them. That's a good year.
I think Sanders, that's what I'm looking for. Walker, I think I'm much less on that and just like the run defense grades. How is he looking on the field when it's a run play? I think that's probably more for him. Mm-hmm. He's going to be more the defensive tackle of just the stats won't be there. It's going to be far more of just overall what does he look
like? And he was a guy that made plays, so I'd expect mm-hmm. There's going to be opportunity there for him as well. But again, if you can average out 3.5 between the two of them,
mm-hmm.
that's a good year. Because either that means one guy spiked,
right,
or you got consistent production from two of them in a heavy D-tackle class that you took advantage of.
803-0550, the number to call. Jim, if you hang on the line, we'll get to you after this quick timeout. This is WGR.